Hello and welcome to the final Colts Corner podcast of the 2018-2019 school year. What a ride it's been. It's going to be emotional today, but we're ready to go. Let's do this. Three seasons of the Colts Corner podcast coming to an end with the original three here without Matt Gold, obviously, away. Pooj was also an original member. Want to shout him out just here at the beginning. Garoff, you've done a great job as our producer, but we're ready for the final podcast of the 2018-19 school year. I'm fired up for this podcast. Getting a little choked up here, but but we have a lot of content to get through, so let's just get going.
Yeah, I just want to say, first and foremost, happy to be here, but Mike, we better be hearing some hip-hop array later on in the show.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, and I just want to say...
I was fired up by that.
I just want to say how much of a huge day this is for us. This is the last podcast for the four of us. It's just been a great ride.
Also, happy birthday, Douglas.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Happy birthday, 18,
Mr. Leduna. 18 years old. Hopefully this last podcast is a nice gift for you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I guess it's the best gift you can ask for.
It should be fun. When you played that music, I thought we were doing a fantasy football breakdown. I didn't have any notes prepared, but I was ready to go.
I'll give a little wink to that.
For that, but...
Welcome to the Colts Corner Podcast. I'm Douglas Latuca.
I'm Matt Gold.
I'm Ben Dixon with our new analyst, Brian Fletcher.
So these are going to be the best moments that we've had on the Colts Corner Podcast over the last couple of years.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Fantasy Football Breakdown brought to you by Colts Corner. I'm your host, Ben Dixon. As we always do on the show, we'll run through all things fantasy, including potential claims on the waiver wire, players you should start and sit, and other news around the fantasy world. Yeah. Doug, you were at Game 3, I was at Game 4, and obviously you saw the worst game out of the two. I don't think that's really a question, but yeah, two heartbreakers. I mean, the first one...
Just an absolute pounding.
Very frustrating time as a Yankees fan. The Red Sox, I really thought we'd beat them in 4 or 5. I didn't think they'd have the pitching or the bullpen. But, Doug, I know you're about to go off, and I'm just going to give like a little sneak peek of what you're going to say. Aaron Boone definitely outmanaged the series. Alex Cora did have a pretty good series. Seems like everything he did was right. Brock Holt came in, hit for the cycle.
Stud.
played Ian Kinsler. He had a big... RBI double, and yeah, it's frustrating. But
Doug is rolling up his sleeves right now, so
he's getting ready.
Just, you guys can't see that, but that's what's happening.
Preparing for liftoff.
So let's get right into it. The main reason, there's two main reasons why the New York Yankees lost this series. One, they didn't get the big hit.
Did not
get the big hit at all.
No clutch hits.
Two, Aaron Boone's incompetence. Let's explain why. Okay. Clearly outcoached by Alex Cora. Both first-year managers, Mike, don't even give me that nonsense with the first-year coach. If we didn't want mistakes, then why would we hire this guy? This guy is a mistake waiting to happen. He's a first-year manager coming from the broadcast booth when you had a veteran coach in Joe Girardi that made correct moves. The guy knows how to coach. Okay, now he's an analyst on MLB, and people are laughing at the Yankees for making that move.
Mike, question. About Aaron Boone. You're going to use the first-year manager thing, like whatever it is you're going to say. But if Aaron Boone doesn't hit that home run against the Red Sox to send the Yankees to the World Series, is he even in this position? Is it even up for debate?
No.
Absolutely not.
He's not a manager, dude.
The guy's the next player trying to be a manager, and he was god-awful this playoff series. He lost us the series in Game 3. What are you waiting for? When are you going to take Severino out before he gives up another 5 runs? After the first single, he shouldn't even came out for the top of the fourth. That's ridiculous. And the fact that you don't have anybody warming up in the bullpen is embarrassing. After the first single, the first pitch of the top of the fourth inning, and you keep him in after he gives up a single. Then it's a hit-and-run base hit to right field. 2 men on. Oh, let me just keep him in again for a 4-pitch walk. You don't even have anybody in the bullpen. Then you decide to bring in big boy Lance Lynn. I don't have anything against this guy. He's pitched well for us, but he's not a reliever. He cannot inherit runners. Why would you bring him in this spot?
Especially
and then you're
going to
wait. Then you're going to go waste Chad Green. It's bizarre. I've never seen anything like this in my life. It doesn't make sense. Let's go to point number two, the fact that we couldn't get the big hit. You have bases loaded and no outs, and you get one run. Are you kidding me? That's how you fail in a series. That's how you lose against a better team than you. Boston is a better team than us, but in the playoffs, we should have put up a better fight. That's an embarrassment. I'm embarrassed to be a Yankee fan just for that series and the awful moves that we made to bring in this dummy. Aaron Boone is the head coach, and I'm just baffled by what went on. And that's my rant, and I'm lost for words now.
Well, one thing in particular, I remember last year when this situation was happening, you guys were bashing Joe Girardi, and I love how you're now asking for him back.
False! No, do not tell me that I bashed Joe Girardi! Check my Twitter! No way! I'm pulling up the tweet!
Doug and I, we were mad after that challenge, but we were praising the guy after we beat Cleveland.
Thank you.
But still,
listen to me.
You still were mad
you
at him.
Don't you dare.
You were mad at him so badly.
Obviously,
a dummy
could have made that move.
How do you not
challenge that? But look, I'm going to go to my profile.
All right,
I'm pulling it up. Go ahead.
You guys were definitely angry at Joe Girardi after the challenge, but nobody wanted him fired. Or not fired, but not retained or whatever it was. Nobody wanted to bring an announcer in from the booth or any of that. That was just the whole Yankee season, honestly. It came down to this series, and it's a disappointment, honestly.
Yeah, well, that ninth inning was pretty much the series in a nutshell. You get the bases loaded. This crowd really bullied Kimbrel into that inning.
Agreed.
And couldn't get the big hit. It was just a game of inches, too, all series. There were a lot of foul balls that were by like a foot that did not go the Yankees' way, and there were fair balls by foot that went the Red Sox' way, and it's just a game of inches. And the replays added first base by what? An inch?
Yep.
Less than that?
Let's also just take a moment here to acknowledge Angel Hernandez is the worst umpire in Major League Baseball history. Okay, Ben, you can continue.
I think there's a lawsuit against the MLB for discrimination.
Well, that,
That's not the reason why you're not umping games, dude. It's because you're awful. Okay, there's five reviews.
And three of them
five
correct?
Reviews and three of them are overturned. Yeah. That's a joke. And then he goes and umps the game four behind the dish. That's awful.
He went off. So I'm looking forward to another great week and another phenomenal day of fantasy football.
Well said, Ryan Dixon.
The future.
There's a preview of what you're going to see. Right there. And, talk about a personality on the microphone. You don't even know who this guy is, and you already feel a connection with him. Great
future
member
of the podcast.
He is. The guy should be leading guy on the podcast.
New dog.
Future to come. Let's talk return of college basketball.
Yeah!
Sorry, that was,
that was a little too loud.
Sorry, that was
everybody
loud.
Everybody in the
but I love,
you
I
made
love,
the thing go as high
I
as
love
it can.
College basketball. I'm excited it's back. And let me just say, Duke. I hate Duke. They are fun to watch.
Oh, I love
Duke. I mean, obviously, it's the tournament. Anything can happen in March. It's November. Just enjoy what you're seeing right now. You got Zion Williamson, the biggest freak in nature in the history of basketball. And he's not even the best player on his team, in my opinion. I think R.J. Barrett is the best player on the team.
I don't even think that's an opinion. That's a fact right there.
R.J. Barrett is so complete. Zion Williamson, also so complete. Cam Reddish, they got the top three freshmen in the country. It's definitely something you could look out for. I'm sorry for yelling wherever you're listening, if I startled you.
No, that was the loudest thing ever on the podcast. Let's just put it that way.
Don't worry about yelling. I've yelled multiple times on this podcast. I'm trying to calm myself down.
No, but that was like a sharp yell.
We have never reached
that
whole wavelength.
Like, that wasn't in a rant or anything like that. That was just a sharp yell. Everybody in the library just looked. It was great.
That's the yell that you get when Luke Voigt goes yard and wins you a game in extra innings. That's the yell that you're here.
Really so, matter.
Enough, Mike. Enough. We're not even going to bring... Let's not even bring up DeGrom. Okay?
Oh, okay.
We don't need to bring up DeGrom.
I might go with... something food-oriented.
No, here, food? I got mine. The wheel.
Okay. Oh, that's weak.
You know what?
That is
that's
weak,
what they always
yes.
say, but... No, I'm changing my answer.
No, but it really started all the
no, like, obviously, yeah,
advancements.
Sure, the wheel's great. It's just the first thing that came in my head because the reinventing the wheel, whatever, it's free, so who cares? The wheel is cool, for
great.
Sure.
Yeah, the greatest invention for
it's
me.
It's not mine.
But, it's got to be sports.
Sports.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I thought this topic is not meant to be about sports.
The pigskin. But if we're not talking about sports, I'm going to go with chocolate chip cookies. Made invented invented on accident. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No,
chocolate chip cookies were invented on accident. They were usually just like chocolate cookies, chocolate cake, but they forgot the chocolate cookies. They used a different type of sugar, whatever it was. That's how the Toll House cookies came about. And my mom makes great chocolate chip cookies. Rye,
she does.
Can you testament to that?
phenomenal.
They're good cookies. And,
they are outstanding.
And I'd like to thank the person who accidentally made chocolate chip cookies. I'm going to look that up right now.
You have the absolute best background for chocolate chip cookies. I never knew any of that.
Ben loves chocolate chip anything. Chocolate chip pancakes, yep. Chocolate chip
fun
shoes.
Fun story about chocolate chips
chocolate
and Ben.
Chip anything.
One time, so it was, what's it called? It was Passover. So me and Ben couldn't eat bread. And we were at our buddy Skaggs' house, you know. Everyone's eating bread, whatever. Me and Ben, we go in, we look what doesn't have bread in his house. The one thing, chocolate chips. That's it. We opened up a bag of chocolate chips, you know, the stuff you put in the cookies. And, wow, we just...
Chocolate chips are really good.
Annihilated the bag.
I got an update. Yeah. I got an update.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
From BusinessInsider.com.
No, it's about chocolate chip cookies.
Quote, unquote, the invention of the chocolate chip cookie happened in 1930 when Ruth Graves Wakefield and her husband, Kenneth, were running the Toll House Inn, Toll House Cookies, on Route 18 near Whitman, Massachusetts. And let me just scroll through here. She started to bake. Ruth discovered she was out of baker's chocolate. She then chopped up a block of Nestle's semi-sweet chocolate that had been given her by Andrew Nestle of the Nestle Company. She expected the chocolate to melt and disperse through the cookie dough, but it didn't. They became chocolate pieces, and that's how the chocolate chip cookie was invented.
Wow.
It's
fascinating.
Ben! Unreal. Fascinating. 2030, we're 1930, we're almost approaching the 90th anniversary of the chocolate chip cookie. So.
Imagine what life was like in 1929, right before the chocolate cookie was invented.
What a disaster.
Yeah.
Actually, it really was a disaster.
No, but
it
really saying,
was. It was a complete
maybe
debacle.
That's what ended the Great Depression.
The Depression. That was like the video that I put on that we put on there. That was an incredible video.
It was.
What a time, Miss Madden.
Mike, you gotta give your mention, man.
Hot tub first, soak in the hot tub for 15 minutes, almost passed out in there a couple times.
Oh,
you gotta be careful in those hot tubs. Gets really hot. and then we made a trip to the adult pool, which was a great space.
The adult pool?
So, there's two pools.
What makes
there's,
it different?
There's the kid in the adult pool, which is filled with piss. Very, very warm. Extremely warm. Then you go to the adult pool.
I mean, it is Miami.
And I mean, I don't even
and
think it was heated.
Not as much
it just,
piss
it's
in that
sun
one.
Heated. And it
was manlier.
So refreshing in there. The water would pour over the sides and into the filter, kind of. So it was.
So
it was
like kind of like a waterfall,
kind of on the ends.
Sounds
and
electric,
and then it would refilter. It would. I mean, the temperature was perfect. Oh, what a trip!
So food, it filters the
food,
pee out for you.
Food. We went for dinners. We went 6 for 6. Me and my dad, meal wise, did not miss a single dinner.
Oh man,
that was great!
Wow, spectacular moments of our Colts Corner past. Now let's look at some High School West top sports moments of the year. Garofa, cue the music and don't scare us. There we go.
Woo!
We're ready to go.
I'm getting some heavy fantasy football breakdown.
Oh, yeah. We are fired up and ready to go. Let's start off with number one, the Hills West football's revenge win against West Hampton in the county championship. They were unable to get the victory last year. They overcame the challenge of West Hampton, dominated them, and then they moved their way on to the football Long Island championship where
they absolutely dominated Plain Edge. I mean, it was just an absolute great game from Justin Brown, Davon Wright, Joe Flaherty, contributions from people all over the field. It was a great win. Long Island champions, baby.
And another thing that we got to talk about is Hills Hockey winning their championship. They won the league. It was an exciting playoff run. They were hammering out wins back to back to back. It was a magical run. Our classmates, they were having a fun time there. It was a spectacular moment.
Yeah, fans were incredible during that run.
Yeah, and then we got my favorite moment of the year. Hills West Lacrosse making their first playoff win in 15 years. Oh, man, that was special. Just great to be a part of and a huge milestone win for this program. We're looking to build off it next year. Very, very excited.
Yeah, so we're going to move on to our next moment. Mike Lee, penalty kick save after Benning Knock had to come off the field after committing a foul. Mike Lee with an incredible diving save, lunging out, and pretty much saving the game for Hills West. Later on in that game, Benning Knock could come back in at the goaltender position, make 3 saves in a PK after regulation. They would go on to win the game and keep moving on in those playoffs. So incredible by Mike Lee to come in cold off the bench. Benny Knock fitting himself right back into the goal and doing a great job.
Yeah, that was a great afternoon. Next one here, we're going to go Aiden Tornquist. He had a 3 home run game this season. I mean, that really speaks for itself. 3 home runs. It's remarkable to do at any level, especially at the high school one. Major props to him. Huge moment there.
Yeah, what a player. One of the team's MVPs this year. He was remarkable throughout.
Yeah, and then we'll get into the other team MVP of that baseball team. Other than you, of course, Doug.
Thank you.
We're talking Mike Draskin. He hit .471 this year and won the batting title for the second year in a row. That's just unbelievable. He's going on to play at NYIT next year. He's going to be great.
Then the next wing we have, we're going a little bit back. We have the girls' soccer team. They had a turnaround season with their brand-new coach, a big playoff win against Kings Park. They were really on the they were just going off the ragged edge this year. They were spectacular. One of the best girls' soccer teams that we've seen in their turnaround. It was spectacular.
Yeah, another Gannon-led team with our next moment. Girls' golf wins the league championship for the first time in 11 years. Congratulations to the girls. They have a lot of future stars coming up. They'll be good for a long time.
Yeah, shout-out Danny Alba there. The last moment here, one of my favorites, personally. The inaugural bowling season for Half Hollow Hills. I wrote a nice article on that earlier in the year, so check that one out if you haven't gotten to it. Tough season for the girls' team. They didn't win any games, but the boys' team had 5 wins. And, yeah, I mean, that pretty much does it.
Yeah, that's the top moments for the year, Hills West Sports.
Talk about having a year. This is pretty incredible. Moment after moment we just went through, High School West, the sport teams doing what they do. Pretty much every year, just win, being competitive in every sport, and another terrific year for Hills West Sports. We're now going to move on to the professional level, where we're going to talk NBA. We're actually going to talk NHL Stanley Cup Final, as the game was last night. St. Louis Blues, after 52 years.
Wow.
We're getting throwbacks in. I told you guys.
There they go. St. Louis finally winning a Stanley Cup. It was definitely deserved. They dominated Boston in Boston at the TD Garden, and it's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the first period here. I mean, Boston absolutely dominated the first period. There's nothing else to say. 12-4 in shots, 8-2 in scoring chances. They won over 60% of the faceoffs in that period. But the Blues scored on their first real scoring chance. You got Ryan O'Reilly, who went on to win the Conn Smythe. We'll get to that in a little bit from the point. And then Alex Pietrangelo adds the second goal on a phenomenal backhand finish with 8 seconds left in the period off of a drop pass by Schwartz. I mean, for a period, I mean, that's hockey for you. That's the beauty of the game.
Yeah.
A team gets dominated for a whole entire period and exits with a 2-0 lead. And basically after that, I mean, the game was total domination by St. Louis. And congrats to them. Huge win.
Yeah, and then also we got my favorite player in the entire series, Jordan Binnington.
Beast.
I mean, the guy just showed up. I watched the entire game last night. He was spectacular. That one kick save he made in the third period, I believe. And then he had saves throughout the entire game. He was amazing. And then deservedly, Ryan O'Reilly gets the Conn Smythe, which is the MVP of the series. I think it's amazing that Binnington. I can't say enough about him. He had an incredible series the entire time, and they just showed up big time in Game 7.
Yeah, Binnington. I was calling him Beastington. I was calling him Brickington. He was just unreal last night. But another thing, hockey is the only sport where you're going to see a team in dead last in the league in January with a chance to come back and win the Stanley Cup come June. I mean, really just a Cinderella story from the Blues. Those were your exact words last night, Doug. And really just a pleasure to watch the St. Louis Blues this playoffs.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable that St. Louis was able to go from last to first. Stanley Cup champions, Jordan Binnington stood on his head. He was the best player at times in the series. Rask was up there as well. Ryan O'Reilly, Conn Smythe.
And yesterday, Tarasenko. Wow, was he was on fire yesterday.
Going back to Binnington, pretty much the dagger save was that right pad beauty. He made a terrific save, lunging out to his right, stopped the Boston Bruins from putting a puck in the net and possibly coming back. So great job from him. And Braden Schenn, with the third goal of the night, pretty much sent the Boston Bruin fans home with a loss. And the St. Louis Blues, it's really incredible that they were able to do this. Huge win for them. Huge win for the city. Just really happy for them. And good thing it wasn't Boston again.
They don't need another parade.
Yeah, how many parades can they have?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really important. But we got another big sport here. We got the NBA Finals. A lot going on right now. It's one heck of a finals. Doug?
Yeah, I mean, a lot going on here as we move over to the NBA. Tonight, we've got game number 6 on the ledger. Raptors with a 3-2 series lead. And no Kevin Durant, ruptured his Achilles. You hate to see that. I'm happy that the Toronto fans redeemed themselves after initially cheering for the injury. Then they applauded him as he walked off the field, walked off the court. Classy move, sportsmanship. They realized their mistake and were able to fix it there. But in game number five, Warriors able to get the win 106-105. Definitely a close one there. Raptors had a chance to wrap it up in Toronto. They were unable to do so. Now they'll try and win it on Golden State's home court.
Yeah, I mean, I was thoroughly entertained by that game five. It looked like the Warriors were going to pull away basically the whole game. Then Kawhi Leonard went on basically a Jordan-esque stretch late in the game while being pretty much insignificant for the first three quarters. He was dropping bucket after bucket. The board man indeed does get paid.
He does.
But it was great run by the Warriors to respond to that. The Raptors' last possession, I have some questions about that. I'm pretty sure they had a timeout. Could have used it. Drew up a nice possession there. But Lowry, obviously the miss was horrible off the backboard at the end. Turns out that shot was blocked. If it wasn't, would it have gone in? Who knows? But I was definitely entertained by that game. I'm ready for Game 6 tonight. And, Brian, I'll let you have the floor.
Yeah, one more thing you got to mention with Game 5 is how Nick Nurse just blew that at the end there. It wasn't even just not calling the timeout there. It was calling the timeout with 3 minutes and 3.5 minutes left. Kawhi was on a tear. I don't know what the thought process was there. You know what he did? He gave Steph Curry and Klay Thompson a chance to rest there to get a little bit of a break right there. They were obviously tired. They come out. You know exactly what happens. Klay hit a three. Steph hit a three. Klay hit another three. They went up, and then they just never looked back there. And that was, I think Nick Nurse blew that in that game.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense why you would take a timeout there after your team was sort of on a roll, pretty much putting Golden State in a hole. And he just gave them time to rest, regroup, and that's exactly what they did. They got hot from beyond the arc. Golden State just took control, had a one-point win in Game 5. Now we'll go to Game 6. Kevin Durant out for the whole series. DeMarcus Cousins getting back to full strength, which you like to see if you're a Golden State fan. Iguodala's been a beast this series. Klay Thompson, you know he's going to be good. He's been good all series, and Steph Curry is the leader on that team right now, especially with Durant out. It's going to be tough for Toronto to get a win here against Golden State, but it would be nice to see the Raptors finally overtake Golden State at the top of the league.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice? You're right.
Well, it would be nice. Let's get game picks, though. Let's see for Game 6 tonight. What do you guys got?
I mean, tonight, it's really hard for me to see the Warriors losing all three home games in the NBA Finals, and especially the last game ever at Oracle Arena. I really want to pick the Raptors, but I'm going to hold off on that for tonight. I got the Warriors tonight, and then I got the Raptors in a classic Game 7. I mean, I've been very entertained by the series. I think it's been pretty good all-around stuff, and I'm excited to see Kawhi keep going at it, and Steph and Klay, see what they can do.
Yeah, you said that perfectly right there. I can't see the Warriors losing tonight. I just can't see them losing three games at home in a series. It's something that they never do. They never lose one game at home in a series. They managed to lose both before. I can't see it happening again right now, but that Game 7 game, I mean, I don't know. I can't predict that Game 7 game. Everything points toward the Warriors because they're the Warriors, but then it's in Toronto, and I don't know. It's just there's so many different variables in that game. I just can't make that game pick right there. I mean, if I have to pick one, I'm going to go with the Raptors because I'm rooting for the Raptors, but it would be a classic game no matter what. I agree.
Yeah, let me just tell you this. I mean, the last game ever at Oracle tonight, the crowd's going to be rocking, and if it gets to that Game 7 in Toronto, you better believe that might be the best crowd in sports history.
Yeah, it might be. I completely agree with you guys. I like Golden State tonight in a close contest. But overall, the series is just great for the NBA. You know, the NBA has a reputation of being somewhat boring, especially in the early rounds of the playoffs. But this finals has been terrific. Golden State usually at the top, and no one even comes close. Toronto's really giving them a run for their money. I like Toronto in Game 7 if we get there. I think Golden State wins tonight, though, on their own home court. You guys said it perfectly last game at Oracle. So I like Raptors in 7.
And you also got to keep in consideration, I mean, you've got the reason, I mean, you said the NBA is sometimes, like, people see it as boring. That's also partially because, you know, the Warriors have been the dominating force.
So dominant.
They've been basically the team of the NBA. They're basically a lock to be in the finals, and if not winning the finals, then they're putting up a good fight. So, I don't know. I mean, I haven't really watched the series. I've heard a lot about it, but if I've got to make a pick, I honestly think the Warriors can win these last two games. They're good at coming in the clutch. Curry's great. I mean, that team's just all around one of the best basketball teams you'll ever see, and they're just such a great franchise, and I think they'll be able to pull it out these last two games.
Yeah, so that's your NBA final sort of recap slash preview for game number 6 tonight. And we're going to move on to the MLB, where we're going to talk David Ortiz, something that sad kind of for baseball. You hate to see when a
former
player...
I know, you got
player,
the positive music in the background. I feel
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, I hate to see...
You don't want to... It's like kind of contradicting the Ortiz scenario.
Yeah, hold
right
on.
Now.
I'll fade it out. I'll
yeah,
fade it
fade
out.
This
we'll
out
bring it
for
back.
The Ortiz. We'll bring it back when we talk about the Mets-Yankees series.
Yeah, you hate to see this. A former player, David Ortiz, one of the more famous players in recent MLB history, definitely in Boston, was shot in the Dominican Republic last week. He is okay. He was in stable condition. I believe he's doing much better. He'll make a full recovery, but just something you don't like to see. Even as a Yankee fan, I'm not saying I like David Ortiz
just
as a person or personally.
As a
just you don't like to see anybody be harmed like that by anything like that.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, first off, they did say at first it was a robbery. Definitely not the case.
It was a hit.
If you saw the video, yeah, it was clearly an attack on his life.
There were at least five people
involved.
Don't
search the video if you haven't watched it. It's
he
very
was
disturbing
paid,
stuff.
The people were paid 70. Yeah, they were paid $8,000 for that. I mean, come on. The Dominican Republic is a very, very, like, it's a dangerous place, and we've seen a lot of things coming from it. You know, Donald Ventura dying last year. We also had, I forgot what his name was. He died as well. Luis Valbuena.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a very dangerous place. And I don't really, like, I know that they have family there. I just don't understand.
That's what I don't
why
get, though.
They go.
I don't get why there's a hit on David Ortiz in the Dominican
yeah,
Republic.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a god in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
I mean, think
that.
About it. We know how much he's revered in right. Boston. He's even a bigger figure in the Dominican Republic. But for me, I mean, it's just like, think about this. Why would these athletes, I get it's their hometown, why would they come back to a dangerous place anymore. No,
I mean,
obviously
he's not
definitely
going back
won't
now.
Be.
I mean,
but
and not have
I
someone
mean,
like watching your
hopefully,
back.
Hopefully, this sets the precedent for it because I mean, there's a lot of athletes from these dangerous places. To be quite frank, I mean, people's lives could be in danger just like Ortiz's was, and you just got to be cautious when you're a figure like that. You're going to have people against you and out for your life. You know?
Yeah. It's very disappointing, and I mean, I haven't seen the video, and it's very. I remember I saw it on my phone because I got the breaking news from I believe Ken Rosenthal, and he wrote and he said David Ortiz has been shot, and I was like, what? I was like, what's happening? And just out of nowhere, like it was really. Everyone was so confused. We had no idea what was going on, but very sad. And you always got to hate when a baseball player is injured and something like that because you've always got to worry about their life. And David Ortiz is very young. He's very lively. He always brought a real big spark to the sport. So it would be terrible if we lost him.
Yeah, 100%. So we're glad that he's doing well, and that's much better than the original reports where we didn't really know what was going on, where it was very unclear. So good to hear that he is in better health than he was when he was initially shot. So hopefully he makes a full recovery. We're going to move on to New York sport teams, the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. Just wrapped up a Subway Series. It was a day-night doubleheader, and it was split. So we'll both take our win and take our loss and move on.
And they were both really like poor teams for the losing team too.
Yeah, well,
they were not entertaining baseball games.
Not at all.
Well,
not in
the second game was for the Mets.
Well, I'm saying from a baseball fan standpoint.
Yeah,
like,
I guess the beginning of game one was more entertaining than game two as a whole.
I mean, it was an awesome series from a Mets fan standpoint because being able to pull out that big win against the Yankees just was huge. I mean, it was. I mean, we're sitting two games below 500 going into that last game. Losing that would mean that we would have to win the first three games to be at 500 against the Cardinals. And I mean, it would have been crushing to get swept by the Yankees, especially after being up 4-0 in that first game and then losing by such a large margin. That second game was really huge for us. Vargas continuing to be strong. I mean, I said it on the last whip around we ever did. Wow, that's weird to say. But, I mean, Jason Vargas has been the ace of the Mets these last few weeks.
That's weird to say.
He's been the ace of the NL.
A guy that's gotten
Hyunjin
killed by
Ryu's
the Yanks,
really.
Too.
Hyunjin Ryu's
one of the top pitchers in the NL.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a top 3 ERA in the NL since April 19th. I think that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, for a guy like him, especially coming off of last year and the beginning of this year, it's like a switch. But I said
it was the same switch that he had last year, though.
Yeah.
You know, last year he was horrible in the first half of the season. Second half of the year, he came out. He was a great pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, and you gotta remember, I mean, in the beginning of the year, everyone said that they need to get rid of him, trade him, fire him, get rid of his contract. Who cares about him? And then I saw that they were praising him and they were giving him positive thoughts. They were like, you can do it. You're a good pitcher. You'll make it back. And I said, you know what?
I think that could be good for him. He's a veteran guy, and he's hearing all this negative stuff about people saying that he sucks. He's in New York. You don't want to have that negative kind of vibe coming into you. But, I mean, when you think about it, they gave him the positivity, and it really riled him up.
Peace,
and
love, positivity.
Yeah, well, the pitching was definitely not a highlight of that series at all.
Because Pete Alonso was.
Right, yeah. Well,
yeah. He was great.
Let me just say one thing. Let me just say one thing. I'm not here for the MLB whip-arounds, so I've never been on one of those. I have business law that period. And I'm sure we've talked about Pete Alonso a ton of times on there.
Yeah, a few. Graph.
I'm sure you've mentioned his name all the time.
Yeah.
Man, is he on fire. I mean, I never get to talk about him. He's having an excellent season. I love it. How many home runs is he now?
22, I believe. Yeah, 22.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm loving everything he's doing for the Mets right now, and it's just been great.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, he's an outstanding player. I watched him in both those games. He's a real talent. He'll be good for a long time. New York Mets fans will love him. You'll see a lot of Pete Alonso jerseys in the stands.
I think I'm getting one. That jersey order we're thinking of doing.
Yeah.
I think Alonso's
going to be a great jersey to get. He's going to be a Met for a long time. He's a terrific player. But
the best thing about it is, I mean, he's gotten to that high fastball. I mean, everyone was pitching him high fastballs, and he's really turned on them. And
Rob is very excited about Pete Alonso.
He is. He's great. I said it before the season. He was my rookie of the year pick, and he's living up to it so far.
By the way, McNeil is hitting where you projected him to be hitting.
He's actually below my projection.
Where is he hitting right now?
He's 338. I had him at 344.
Okay.
I'll take 338.
Okay.
I'll take 338.
I was a little off the ball. I think I overshot him a little bit. But, I mean, I said it to Ben. Ben called me. Ben, you doubted me. You did.
It is early, though. It's still early. We're not even in the summer days yet.
He's got a 333 career average, though.
That's impressive. The guy can hit. Okay,
yeah,
I know that. I did doubt you.
Yeah,
he's not hitting in the 340s now. It's just,
no, not at all. But
it's not going to happen.
Honestly, if he keeps up this pace, he could stay above 330, which would still be impressive. I mean,
that would be extremely impressive.
So, I mean, he's a great hitter. He's got such a great capability putting bat on ball. That home run in the first game was amazing. I texted Ben immediately. I was like, oh my God, Jeff McNeil just hit a home run. So just the future is positive for the Mets. I think we have a bright future. I just don't think this year's the year, or maybe not even next year.
Fair enough. So let's talk then all-star players that you think are coming from the Yankees and coming from the Mets. So Garoff and Brian, tell me who you believe will be in the all-star game from the New York Metropolitans.
I think we just talked about him. Pete Alonso.
Yep.
Right? I mean, he's...
You have Vargas in there, or do you have McNeil in there?
You know, I'm thinking you could throw Vargas in there.
Because
he's been so dominant since April, and the All-Star break is still a month away. If he keeps this up for another month, I think you could see Vargas sneaking
in. That's true. Yeah, that's true. He's kind of overlooked. Obviously, I mean, even I'm overlooking him just because of how poorly he started the year. But I got to think that... I mean, I think the voting thing, the All-Star voting is strange because we've got the preliminary rounds, and it's clearly, right off the bat, not the best players that are getting the top spots. It's the popular teams. You've got Cubs. Anthony Rizzo's number one in first base. That shouldn't be – well, no, he's not. I think Josh Bell is. But Anthony Rizzo and Freddie Freeman are 2 and 3 over Pete Alonso, who's fifth. That shouldn't be happening. Pete Alonso is one of the best first basemen in baseball right now. Joey Gallo wasn't even in the top three, and he's been one of the best hitters this season. So some players, it makes sense. But, I mean, you've got Trout, Bellinger from two L.A. teams. Those are obviously going to get a lot of votes. So,
well, they also deserve it.
Well, yeah, I know.
I mean, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean,
it's a popularity contest.
I feel like, I mean, McNeil was like ninth in voting. I'm like, how does it even happen? But you have to keep in mind that the managers do make their picks, the players will make their picks, and I think that Alonso, I think, will definitely get in if he's healthy and keeps it up.
He should be in the Home Run Derby as well.
Yeah, the question is, the Mets have always had a history of not wanting their players to be in the Home Run Derby, so that's the only issue I'd have is that they may not let him. But I would love to see him go out there and rake it, and hopefully be able to perform.
Yeah, another guy I believe should be in the Home Run Derby is Luke Voigt. He's picking up right where he left off last year.
Or Gio Urshela too.
Gio's not a home run hitter. I see Luke Voigt being a person that's interested in doing that. He's actually said that he is interested in doing something like that. So I'd love to see Luke Voigt show off his power in that contest. He should also be an all-star over at first base. He's been spectacular this year. Maybe not with the glove, but we know that he's improving from last year where he was unwatchable over there, but he's making strides over there.
Definitely.
I'm very proud of his work ethic over at first base. He's making a name for himself. Another guy, DJ LeMahieu. I mean, the guy's almost hitting .500 with runners in scoring position. He's the perfect player for the New York Yankees. It's the best signing that we made in the offseason. I said it when we did it. Great signing, 2 years, $24 million. Terrific value there. He's in 316 on the year. And Sanchez deserves credit as well after a bad year last year. He's got over 20 home runs this year, and he's been really outstanding. He worked on his defense as well. He's done a better job at framing pitches, blocking pitches. And I saw Aaron Judge was getting votes, but he has not played all year.
It's because they're the Yankees.
Yeah, it's because Aaron Judge. So a lot of people don't know that he hasn't played all year.
They don't know that he's hurt. They're just like, oh, it's Aaron Judge. Let's give him a vote. I mean, that's the one thing that I don't like. I mean, I just wish that it wasn't such a popularity contest. It should be more about, I mean, I'm one of those people. A lot of people say, I vote for everybody on the team. I don't care who they are. I'm going to give all Yankees. Me, I go for the Mets who deserve it. I gave McNeil and Alonso votes, and other than that, I was like, you know what? The rest of them don't deserve it. I mean, it's disappointing, but you got to say that. But another guy for the Yankees who I think will be a pretty good lock would be Ottavino.
You're
not even letting me speak about my own team.
All right, Ben, you can
speak. I'm just kidding. No, I'm joking.
He hit it right on the on the head.
Yeah, I mean, Ottavino's great.
Let the guy talk.
I'm joking.
Kidding. No, let him talk.
I'm joking.
The guy watches every day.
I'm just kidding. Doug said Sanchez, Voit, and LeMahieu. I think all three of those guys should be on the team. I agree. Ottavino should be on the All-Star team.
Gio.
I don't know if he will be.
No.
He'll be in the primary, the top three. He should be there.
Should be.
Gleyber Torres should also be in that top three. And, I mean, he gives me a heart attack, but looking at his stats, Aroldis Chapman has been great this year.
Welcome to Edwin Diaz world.
I think Ottavino's maybe been the best reliever in baseball this year. I mean, I got Doug a nice little Ottavino shirt for his birthday.
Yes,
Sergio Romo and Shane Green have been spectacular, too. I mean, Shane Green is a 1 ERA.
To be fair, the baseball that I've watched,
I'll take Didi Gregorius over Shane Green, okay?
Yeah, well, that was the trade, except not this year. Shane Green's got, I looked earlier, it's a 1 ERA.
He's been very good.
And Sergio Romo only has one blown save and like one. I saw he had like one earned run in his last few starts. I was like, wow, that's crazy for Sergio Romo. But I mean, the All-Star game is going to be fun. Obviously, we're not going to be here on the podcast talking about it. So, I mean, it's going to be a great time. Always you got to, I mean, everybody hypes up the starting pitchers. I think honestly, we should let's make starting prediction, little predictions, starting pitching
for
predictions.
Pitching?
Yeah. I think Hyunjin Ryu's got to be in the Doug's very Doug's a little confused.
We'll take your predictions and we'll probably just concur.
Yeah, I'll just agree. I know a bit about the Mets.
You're a very credible source.
I think Hyunjin Ryu definitely for the NL should be the starting pitcher, and then for the AL, I mean, there's a lot of really great pitchers over there in the AL side. I really can't pinpoint one.
Verlander maybe.
Yeah, Verlander's been great. I mean, they've just had a lot of really great pitchers. I mean, we've just seen. I've seen so many no names who have been getting me a lot of points in fantasy, and I'm like, wow. I'm like Martin Perez for the Twins have been killing it. Jake Odorizzi, he has a 1.92 ERA with the Twins.
Yanks can't hit that guy.
Nobody can. Charlie Morton, a 2.1 ERA. Lucas Giolito's been really, really good too. So the top seven ERA guys are guys that people wouldn't really expect to be. The only one
Mike Minor
say,
as well, who's had a yeah. who's kind of rejuvenated his career
he's
as well.
He's been spectacular. I mean, the only in the top eighth place would be Justin Verlander. So, I mean, a lot of really great things going on in baseball. Nice to see the young talent and kind of the unknown talent coming into fruition.
Yeah, 100%. If the Yankees wanted to sneak one more guy into the All-Star game, maybe Domingo Germán, 9-2 this year.
He's been
great. His ERA has escalated a bit in the last two starts.
Because he's had, in his last like three or four starts, he's not been good. What I've been noticing with Germán is he's been dynamite for four innings, and then come that fifth inning, it's just like his pitch count's through the roof. Guys are shelling him.
Move him to the pen, just like we did with Seve.
Hey, I think we will when we get that full rotation back. Maybe a nice little trade deadline acquisition.
100%.
Stroman,
Bumgarner.
Yeah, just an update on the both teams in the standings. Yankees. They're sitting at 41-25. They're first place in the league, in the AL East. I'm sorry, they're a half a game up on Tampa Bay. They've went 4-6 in the last 10, so not great there. They went on a little bit of a skid. I've been around 500 the last couple of weeks. Maybe the magic beginning to fade. They could use some reinforcements. Some of these guys coming back into the lineup. Stanton, maybe Judge, Didi's back. Some pitching is coming back to the rotation, so that's good for the Yanks. For the Mets, sitting a game under 533-34.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
five and a half back of Atlanta, four and a half of the wild card. So the Mets are right in the thick of things, and at least is a good division. And I expected this when we first did one of our first MLB whip-arounds. I said that there would be at least two NL East teams making the playoffs. I still believe that's true.